Take your Bibles, go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, a familiar chapter to most of us, if not all of us, talking about the maniac of Gadara. And we're going to be going through this passage this evening. And the title of the message tonight is Freed to Serve. Freed to Serve. And we're going to just go through his story simply. And also, we're going to make some applications to ourselves. And what we're going to see is that Jesus freed me to serve. Jesus freed me to serve. Our first point tonight is a man in bondage. And we're going to start in verse 1. And they came over the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And for those of you that don't know, the Sea of Galilee, that's southeast. This is a region southeast of the Sea of Galilee in modern-day Jordan. Is where it's at. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And in these first five verses, we see a man with needs. He is in bondage. For one, he's possessed with demons. But he's in bondage to his sin. Let's just imagine who we're talking about here. This is the guy that no one wants to talk to. This is the outcast. This is the bum of the county. Everybody avoids him. He's the loud, obnoxious, stinky person. He's the guy that I live on 30th Street. And I'm a person that needs my sleep. And these people with their rice burners and their rap music wake me up pretty near every night. And this is the guy that when people are trying to sleep, he's screaming. He's crying aloud. And you know, I'm the type of person that if somebody, teens, listen closely, don't do this, okay? I'm the type of person that if you come out from a corner and scream at me, I might scream like a girl. That's who I am. I get startled very easily. And honestly, I go up to the teens and I'll clap right behind their head just to freak them out. And so I probably have some medicine coming towards me myself. And, who knows, it might happen this week since I told him I get scared easy. But can you imagine, this guy is screaming out of the pain and the agony of his soul. He is bound in his sin. He's hell-bound. He's possessed with demons. There's hurt. There's no peace in his life. And he just goes through the night. He screams. I would be scared to death to hear somebody running past my house screaming in the night. Not only is he cuts himself. So he's a bloody, bruised person. Snot in his beard. Bedhead. You know? Probably really long hair. A man in bondage. You know? Think of ourselves. Was there a time that maybe I was in bondage? Weren't we all there at some point? Lost. On our way to hell. A sinner separated from God. I think of myself, not that I got saved when I was 8 years old, but I actually have some family watching the live stream tonight, and if there's anybody that might have looked like this maniac, it probably was me. I was the kid that when I went into the shower, I came out muddier than when I went in. And so I was a smeared, you talk about bedhead, that was me. Boom, hair pointing all in directions. And, my style, I'm telling you, red shorts, purple Colorado Rockies shirt, black tube socks up to the knee, white Nike tennis shoes. That's how I dressed all the time. And I was a stinky, filthy-looking sinner. And everybody probably tried to avoid me, too. And also what we see, though, in this passage is we see Jesus sees his bondage. Going on in verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off and ran and worshipped him, he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And so Here's this maniac, this wild man, the man that nobody wants, the man that everybody says, kids, you hear that guy? Yeah, he hangs out in those tombs over there. Don't go over there. If you see him come out, go the other way. Avoid him at all costs. This is a guy that if he tries to go up to somebody, they avoid him. They always avoid him. He's not worth talking to. He's the loser. Nobody wants to be around him. But you know what? Jesus, he came up to Jesus, and Jesus, he's the type of guy that when he comes up to you and talks, you kind of just like roll your eyes and you just try to go on about your business. Jesus didn't do that. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't pass you by? We think of this maniac, and Jesus, he confronts his spiritual bondage. He's bound with demons, and in verse 8, for he said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. So he confronts the man's bondage. Jesus didn't just see it, but Jesus is going to free him from his bondage. And aren't you so glad today that God didn't overlook you? We think about what we did to Jesus. You know, it was my disobedience to my parents that put him on the cross. It was me taking the Lord's name in vain that put him on the cross. It was me telling lies that put Jesus on the cross. And in this passage, if there's anybody in this region that does not deserve Jesus' time, it would be this guy right here. He doesn't deserve mercy. He doesn't deserve Jesus' love. He doesn't deserve Jesus' compassion. And neither did I. Neither did I. But you know what? Jesus, he loved me. Jesus has a purpose for my life. You know, and Jesus saw my bondage. But you know what he did? He freed me from my bondage. And in this passage, we see that he freed this man from his bondage. Verse 9, and he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, I'm not going to focus on the Legion. For those of you that are history buffs, a legion was a term used for a group of Roman soldiers. Anybody know how many are in a legion? That's really close. It's 6,000. 6,000 in a legion. Now, I don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't necessarily clarify it. He called them legion because we are many. He doesn't say that there's 6,000 demons inside of them. But I'll tell you this. He was full of a lot of them. He was possessed by many spirits. And he besought him much that he could not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of wine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And so they plead with Jesus. You know, I think back to why that the maniac never met Jesus, but you know, the demons inside of him knew who he was. And you know, he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, he's the one person that could, you know, that has authority over them, and demons are afraid of him. And so Jesus, he said, come out of them, and they're afraid, and they wanted something to go into. And so Jesus, he bids them to go into the swine, and all the devils, in verse 13, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran rightly down the steep place into the sea, that they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. So, I'm going to guess there are at least probably about 2,000 in there, in that guy. That's a lot. It's just crazy to think about when you think of his spiritual needs. And praise the Lord that Jesus cared about him. That Jesus didn't look him by. You know, when everybody saw a loser, Jesus saw somebody that could serve him. When everybody saw an outcast, Jesus thought, hey, I love that guy. I came down from heaven's glory to die for him. That's why I'm here. Jesus didn't call, he didn't come down to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus doesn't just want to save the person that's gone to church all their lives. He didn't come to call the righteous, he came to call sinners. And here is a man who is a sinner. He is enslaved. He is in bondage to his sin. And Jesus is concerned about that. And as a young boy, I was a boy in bondage to sin. And praise the Lord, in the man of my grandfather, that I got to go down to his house and he took me to church for the first time and I got to hear the gospel. You know what? I saw that I was in bondage and that I deserved punishment, hell. Praise the Lord, he offered me a free gift. And Jesus freed me from my sin. Praise the Lord for that. That God cares about us. Also, what we see in this passage, as we... Oh, and then, you know, I'll just read the rest of the story, starting in verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So all the people from the county around, from the town, they come, and they can't believe it. Here's this guy who didn't wear any clothes. He was bruised. He was cut. You know, guy with no hygiene, all and out of his mind all the time. The maniac. And he's sitting here, smile on his face, with the Lord. What in the world? And they were afraid. And then, I'm going to paraphrase just a little bit, and they wanted Jesus gone. The town went up to him and said, Jesus, you got to get out of here. Because you've destroyed our income, our pigs are gone. You know, get out. You know, hey, great, glad you healed the guy, but we want you out of here. We don't want anything else to happen. And that's just kind of what's going on in the story. And then in verse 18, and he was come to the ship. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. So what do we see here? We see a man who just got freed from his sin, freed from his bondage. And guess what? He is excited. He wants to be with Jesus. He wants to go with Jesus. He wants to serve. And what do we see here? Verse 19, Jesus gives him a mission. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. Jesus gave him a mission. If you're a believer today and God has freed you from your punishment, he's given us a mission. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus says, I don't know the guy's name. He said, go to your friends. Go to your family. Go to your hometown. Tell them what I've done for you. How I had compassion on you. How I loved you. Why? Because that is the good news. That Jesus can save a sinner who's hell bound. And what do we see here? He gets excited. And in verse 20, Jesus gave him a mission, and now we see, here's the man, the outcast, the person that nobody likes, the demon-possessed man. We had a man in bondage at the beginning of this passage, and now we have a man on a mission, a man on a mission. In verse 20, and he departed. Jesus said, hey, go. And you know what he did? He didn't twiddle his thumbs. He went and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all the men did marvel. So Decapolis is in the same region, and there were 10 influential cities in that region. And he didn't just go to his friends. He went to Decapolis, 10 cities. The reason I went in Greek class, I learned that deca meant 10. And that's about the only Greek word I ever got right on a quiz was deca. If you really want to know Greek, go to Brother Westerland or Pastor. But I do know that Decapolis, 10 cities. And he didn't just go to his friends. That wasn't enough. No, he got excited. Jesus set him free. And he went to 10 cities. Just try to imagine this guy who had gotten free. And he's going from street corner to street corner after city saying, hey, there's a God that loves you. Yeah, you heard about that maniac of Gadara? Yeah, that was me. And Jesus set me free. You know, he can set you free too. And he can, you know, he can free you from your alcohol. He can free you from your addictions. He can free you from your bitterness, from your pain, because that's what he did for me. And he went and he was sharing his testimony how God can save a poor lost sinner like me. And he went. He was a man on a mission. I remember when I first got saved, I remember going to a restaurant the next day, and I was like a broken record. I said, this is what I did to everybody I went up to. I said, hey, Jesus saved me yesterday. I was 8 years old. I remember we went to a restaurant. I'll never forget it. The first lady I ever told that I got saved, outside of like my grandma, my brother that was there. This is the first person outside of family I told. And the only reason I remember is because she had the longest hair I've ever seen on any human being in my life. Her hair touched the floor, and it was in this big old long ponytail. And I didn't care who she was. I said, "Hey, Jesus," I just walked up to her table, got right in her face, "Jesus saved me." And then I went up to the next table, "Hey, Jesus saved me." And I was going to person after person after person saying, "Hey, Jesus saved me." Why? Because I was excited. Because I had been set free. You know what Jesus wants us to do? He wants us to get excited about our freedom. That we got set free. That, you know, we were on destiny to death. And he passed us from death into life. When he freed us from our sin. And here and I'm not up here making a plug for soul winning. Though, if you come out on Saturday, we'd love to have you. But this is not just, we don't just serve Jesus on a Saturday or on a Sunday or on a Wednesday. It needs to be our life as a believer. Saying, "Lord, who can I reach out to today? Lord, who can I share your message of salvation with today? Who can I share with my testimony how you brought me from death to life? Who can I serve today?" And I want you, church family, to know that we love it when we get involved here. But God doesn't want us to be involved here. He wants us to be involved out there in the world. Do we have neighbors that we've told? A co-worker? A boss? Could we maybe share a Bible tract with somebody at the gas pump? Or maybe share a Bible tract with our waitress at our table? There's all sorts of opportunities. And Jesus freed me to serve. So this man in bondage, Jesus freed him. And what's the first thing that Jesus said? He said, "Go. Get busy. Tell people that there's a God that loves them, that there's a God that can change them. There's a God that can give them peace when there is no peace. There's a God that can give them joy." And that's why God saved me. That's why God saved you. God freed me to serve. And maybe ask ourselves this evening, am I serving? Is there a neighbor that I maybe need to go down and knock on their door? Is there a relative that maybe I need to send a letter to? Or a relative that maybe I need to call? What are we going to do with the gift that we've been given? Are we just going to be freed? And are we just going to come to church and take in, you know, the meat of the word? God doesn't just want us to be hearers only. He wants us to be doers. God wants us to share. And I had a young person once tell me, I said, "Well, you know, Pastor," and I've shared my testimony before about my background. "Pastor Grimes, I don't have a cool testimony like you do. I didn't grow up in a rough home. I grew up in church. You know, how's my story significant?" And I would tell him, "You know, everybody's hellbound a long time before they can ever make any big mistakes in their adult life." It's like that adult, you know, yeah, they might live a rough life, but that person was hellbound long before. We were born sinners. And the fact that God saved you is supernatural. God did something that you couldn't do for yourself. And every testimony, church, your testimony is significant. And there is somebody that God wants you to share your story with. Somebody that needs to hear that God set me free and he can set you free too. Every story is significant. Am I serving the Lord?